the assessor's office?
Yeah, we can just move on. I wouldn't table it because we don't have a specific date or time.
Move on then. My wording.
That's all the abatements I have. So.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Did you look at it, Commissioner Williams, and did you see whether it had been charged anything for...
I didn't look into it that much, no.
Okay. I didn't get a chance to ask the collector's office.
Records disposal list for 2017. We need to put that off. The treasurer's not available. So we'll set that off till next week. Is that right?
Just out of caution, because it's advertised as 2017, it should be 2018.
That's
why
we requested. So we don't need to table this. We just need to let it. Let's move on, and it'll be agendized correctly for next week.
Mm-hmm. Broadband discussion.
Morning.
Appreciate the opportunity to come and chat with you all this morning. My name is Cassie Cunningham. I'm the manager of communications and member engagement programs at White River Valley Electric Cooperative. We have long studied the necessity of internet connectivity in the communities that we serve prior to COVID, and what we definitely learned and heard from our membership was the necessity of that broadband internet connectivity with remote learning, remote work, business growth, and sustainability, all things that I'm sure you all are very aware of. So we recently deployed a feasibility study that looked at our entire service territory. We looked at varying technologies, wireless, satellite, fiber to the home. We also looked at availability in the area, county by county. We looked at physical plant necessary, operating models, everything that would be entailed in a connectivity project of this kind. And we closed the study in August, September, and at that point in time, with White River funding, the full project would have been about $235 million. As you know, there's a lot of funding opportunities available right now with COVID and everything that has been surrounding that. We also went back into the model and really tightened up any potential operating CapEx costs. We defined phases and potential pilot areas. We looked at full fiber project, and then we looked at the potential of maybe just doing a backbone for the territory that we serve. In doing that, we were able to shave a few million dollars off of the project. We were also able to bring the break-even point down from a 20-year 30-year return now to a 15-year. So the main goal for White River is not have any effect on the rates of our electric utility members. So this would be a separate project. But as we are a rural utility provider, we are looking to provide service to those rural areas because no one else is going to come in and do it because it isn't a revenue generator. So with this project, what we were looking to provide, Taney County specifically, would cover over 52% of homes in the county, those being specifically members of White River. There would be other areas like in the municipal areas where another utility provider may be providing the electric service, but it would lead over to those non-member areas. But that would be a $69, $79, and $99 price point at 100 meg symmetrical service, 500 meg, and gig service. So that means the difference of maybe being able to pull up a video on your computer to a gig service. You could run a whole business of this size. We also have the ability to tap into the emergency broadband benefit that is being extended, which would give consumers an opportunity for an additional $30 credit for that service for those that may have trouble paying for it but still need the opportunities there. So what to get the price point to where it is something that's feasible for White River to take on still the lion's share of the project, but receive the federal and state funding grant tranches that are available. We need to have proof of public-private partnership as well as matching grant monies. So that will enable us to get the grants that are available as well as the loan that come with the available grants, and then White River footing the bill for the rest of that. So we have plugged into the model. I hope it will be more. We are going to be very aggressive in our approach for those funding streams, but we are looking to secure $35 million out of the different grant tranches. Our first application will wrap on February 18th. That's for Reconnect through the Rural Utility Service. Then we'll be applying for state ARPA funds, infrastructure, CapEx, and hopefully more things will continue to come. But out of those, at minimum, we'd like to secure $35 million. To do that, we would need a $10 million match, and we are looking to secure that across our five-county territory. So if you look at Taney County specifically, those 52% of homes, your local ARPA funds, for example, was the amount of $10.8 million. So 52% of that being able to be used for water, sewer, and broadband infrastructure would be $5.6 million. Not looking for the whole 100%, of course, of the money, but just Taney County's share of that $10 million to get the project rolling so we can provide that reliable service for all the people that are inhabitants of Taney County and the other four counties that we serve. As a discussion, instead of a formal proposal, do you have any questions?
You said 69. What was the tiers that you guys are looking at?
100 meg symmetrical service, 500 meg, and 1 gig.
What does symmetrical service mean?
So uploading and downloading equivalency. And that is available. And one of the reasons why when we looked at all satellite, fixed wireless, and the fiber, the sustainability of that technology, as well as the terrain that we have here, that is the most reliable. It's not something where we would have to come in and replace that fiber after 3 to 5 years. It would be built out for eventually up to 40 gig service. So it is something that would be sustainable and hold the value of the investment. Also, regardless of where somebody lives, hill or holler, they would have the same service. Also, depending on who else is online at that time, they would have the same service. So, or not depending on, but they would have the service regardless of who's on.
There wouldn't be any degradation, or there wouldn't be any slower speeds because of it.
Correct, yes. I did pull up for... in our competitive analysis, there are two providers that are offering fiber service at this time in Taney County, Suddenlink and CenturyLink. The majority of the county is underserved or unserved now that FCC and NTIA are redoing their mapping. As you may or may not know, they can report through 477 data to show that the area is covered. When in fact that may be five people in the area have the service. That's not indicative of half the county having the service, but they can blanket that on that mapping. So those have been highly refuted, and hoping new maps to be published in by June, July, but at the mercy of FCC for that. But regardless of what is published, that would just enable us to have more potential funding streams later down in the project, but we still need to get the project going. But I show what we would offer 52% of homes at minimum. It's a little harder, as you know, to pull census data on businesses. There would be a lot of businesses in there, so that would be over and above the 52%. But whether it be education, healthcare, farming entities, whatever, you can't get a hard number on specific businesses. But that would be over and above the 52%.
And you looked at all of the homes in Taney County?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we looked at all of the homes and having the same conversation in Taney County, Stone County, Ozark County, Douglas County, and Christian County. I do have a map of the county and what our backbone is. I brought with me and can share.
So, are you saying that it would reach all of your customers that you currently have?
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. We have went through the project in phases. The majority of White River members across our five-county territory would be covered in around a 3 to 5 year, well, by the 5 year for sure, but 3 year period is what we're shooting for. As you know, with everything else, the availability of materials and contractors may push that a little bit, but the full project will be done within a 5 year time frame. So I have numbers specifically for White River members. But you can look here right in town or in Branson, for example. We have a lot of members that are in town that non-members would actually have availability of the service as well. So the coverage would be significantly greater than 52%, but better safe than sorry on numbers. So
I have to confess, I was going to go back and listen to the tape to digest everything that you've said. And at the beginning, my mind was finishing up another project that I've just been working on. You said in originally you figured it was $235 million.
Mm-hmm.
And what year was that?
We just wrapped that feasibility study at the end of August, beginning of September. 21 this past year.
No, I thought you had $235 million and then you dropped it considerably less when you did another study.
Well, we had a study about 8 years ago that was well over $300 million. We did this next feasibility study with the National Rural Telecommunications Cooperative. They do projects like this in study and deployment across the country. And most successful in fiber ventures with electric cooperatives. We wrapped the study most recently of the data that I'm looking at and discussing today in September, August, September. The unique thing about what that study provided us is it's very robust. So it includes the operating model, it includes capital expenditures, everything that would go in start to finish to a project of this nature. And when we move some things around, it will show us, okay, well, we need more here, this is less here, you can move over to non-member opportunities here. So looking at that and really tightening where we could, just making sure that, of course, the project could be completed. Because as you know, the terrain here at 47,000 dollar average a mile for overhead, but then we get up to near 170,000 when we have to do underground. So we want to consider all those potential costs, but we were able to shave a few million dollars off of that. Also looking at the different funding streams, so we're going to be going, like I said, this first one is ReConnect, so our application is due February 18th. Then after that, we'll be going for state ARPA funds, which Governor Parson has allocated $400 million for the state for broadband efforts. Obviously, it's for the entire state, so it wouldn't fund the whole project, but looking to secure a portion of that, as well as infrastructure and capital expenditures. So there are different tranches of funding that we are going to be aggressively seeking. But we didn't want to put in, to be safe, more than the $35 million.